Welcome to season 5 of the Mindfulness Pilates podcast. I'm Beverly Densham, Mindfulness Pilates teacher of over 25 years and author. I really look forward to bringing you tips to reduce back pain to feel good, as well as working through stress to calm, with relaxation, positive affirmations and inspiration every week to inspire you in body and mind. Feel stronger, happy and calm. Okay, so big welcome to this week's podcast, all about anxiety. I have to say it's a topic really close to my heart. I'm really passionate about it, also having experienced it myself on and off. So really happy today that we have a guest expert. So really be pleased to be joined by Amy Langshaw, who's a cognitive behavioral therapist, background with a psychology degree and then a master's degree as well. Many years working with the NHS, but now has a wonderful private practice, also does wonderful volunteer work. You work with your husband's business as well, but you particularly help with anxiety, worries, intrusive thoughts, low mood, anything from panic attacks to anything kind of anxiety related. So I'd just like to say thank you so much for coming along the podcast today. Really, really appreciate that. So welcome to you.
Welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, I really appreciate it, because I think, you know, seeing a therapist or knowing that there's therapist support out there is so important, but also the tools that you teach, you know, they're tools that can be used for life as well. But I thought perhaps it'd be really nice to start with, to share a bit more about you, your families, your hobbies and passions, and also what your master's degree was about as well.
Yeah, sure. Well, I always had an interest, I think, in people in general. And at a young age, I wasn't aware of it then, but about mental health. We had a lot of sort of members of family, grandparents and what have you, that struggled with depression, but I didn't have the words for them as a child. I knew there was something there. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to learn more about it. So I started the psychology degree, hoping it would give me a direction, but actually it opens up so many avenues, I didn't know where to go. So I sort of fell into a job working in a charity, working with young carers, doing one-to-one and group work. And absolutely loved it, and continued in that role, working then in schools, and again sort of group work one-to-one on anger management, anxiety, social anxiety, social skills, and it was a very much a sort of a behavioral psychology approach to it. And following that, I sort of started another job working with families, and again a sort of solution focused approach. But I felt that there was an element there that I couldn't access, sort of more around the cognitive and reasons why they were behaving this way. And that's what sort of led me towards the master's degree. And that was in the psychodynamics of human development. And that gave me a much broader experience of the cognitive side and the subconscious. And worked for a little while in that role as part of the NHS, but really missed the behavioural psychology side of things, really missed the solution focus side of things. And just spent a bit of time, obviously I had my own family and helped out with my husband for a bit in an admin role. And at that time, I really struggled. I was hoping to go on and do the PhD in psychodynamic training, but I really struggled in the preparation for that. And then, and had very young children at the time. I felt very tired as well. I was struggling with heightened anxiety and experiencing panic attacks. And I visited the GP just to see what was going on. I sort of hit 40 and, you know, you're sort of saying, well, you're working and you're a parent, you know, you're going to be tired in general, but there was something more there. So after a blood test, they sort of diagnosed me with an autoimmune disorder. And my thyroid was basically packing up. So it was something completely out of my control. And it was really quite scary, not having understanding what was happening to me at the time. Even with sort of with my training, it was a whole other level of experiencing it. And, So I started on the medication and started to try and get myself into a better place, because I just could not focus. I felt like I wasn't being the mum that I thought I should be. I was experiencing a lot of sort of negative, inner critic sort of kicked in, a lot of negativity. I was sort of not being very kind to myself, really. Mm. So I thought I needed to, first physically, I needed to sort myself out. I was on medication. I sorted out my diet. I started to build up my fitness levels, and then started to explore a bit more around mindfulness and that self-compassion and journaling. And sort of, it was more of a holistic look at where I was at and where I wanted to get to. I started volunteering with Homestart UK in Hertfordshire as a family support worker. And that sort of really helped me in the early stages of building my confidence back up, because I felt like at the time I used to work with families, but the position I was in, I was so nervous and unsure of myself. My confidence had completely been knocked. So this was an opportunity to remind myself of who I was before all of this kicked off, and reminded me of it, not who I should be, but who I am, and of my achievements and what I'm capable of doing. And that really helped get me back on track. And then I wanted to revisit the role that I'd been doing before, working with families and using the psychology. And somebody mentioned about CBT and bringing the cognitive and the behavioral together as an approach. And it's very much still that solution-focused approach. So I started the training before the lockdown, before COVID hit us, and worked initially in a trauma team with teenagers. And then with the pandemic that hit, and I then worked online with adults, and that was just with all sorts of disorders, just generally learning about CBT. And then sort of 3 years down the line, I'm now sort of specializing more in anxiety disorders, because I feel like I've got a really good sound understanding of that, of what people struggle with, having experienced it myself, and also wanting to support parents as well, sort of prenatal and postnatally, but also in sort of, if they're struggling in their parenting role and anxiety is getting in their way, it's helping them in that journey of working with it rather than struggling with this anxiety, to try and get them through their day. And also understanding, I suppose, it's not just anxiety, but there's obviously low mood as well. You know, if you've been, I think I myself, at that time where I was really struggling with my anxiety and not really being a very good friend to myself, my mood was definitely really low. Struggled to find that motivation initially. Felt completely helpless and a bit lost about, well, what do I do? Where do I go? Who can help me with this? So ended up trying lots of different things. And I think that's what I like about CBT, is there's no one way that works for everybody. You've got to find what resonates with you and what works for you. So it's about trying something different.
Yeah. So with if you can summarize it sort of in an easy way, for, because not everybody will have heard, some people will have heard of CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, and some people won't have heard of it. So like in easy language for somebody to understand that. I have personal understanding it myself. I was in a major road traffic accident in Australia and had post-traumatic stress disorder afterwards and high anxiety, panic attacks, etc. So that's when I did actually see a psychologist, and I had the cognitive behavioral therapy as well. So I do sort of have that personal understanding at my end. But for you listening right now, would you be happy to just share briefly exactly what it is?
Definitely. Yeah. So we have what's called the five area model, which we initially look at the situation. What's going on for you at this moment? Where are you? What's happening? Who are you with? Then we look at four elements, which are your thoughts. And that might be almost like a voice in your head. It could be a thought. It could be an image, or it could be like a little video clip that you experienced at the time. And then it's how that makes you feel, whether that's anxiety, frustrated, angry, low mood. how it impacts on you physically. So whether you're experiencing racing heart, shortness of breath, sweaty palms, trembling, shaking, and then also behaviorally, how are you responding in that situation? Is it something that you're avoiding? Are you experiencing those racing thoughts? Are you trying to manage the situation by drinking more alcohol? Or if it's social anxiety, are you constantly finding you have to hold a drink or sit in the corner and avoid people, avoid eye contact? So we explore all those little elements to find out what's maintaining the issue. Why are you stuck? And we hope to find what is that cycle is and to break that cycle. So that might be experimenting a little bit, making a few changes to what you're doing behaviorally. It might be introducing some relaxation techniques to manage the physical symptoms that you're experiencing, or it might be challenging some of those thoughts, because sometimes thoughts might not be based on fact. So it's about challenging that and finding out what is the real evidence for that. And just to confuse matters, I also do acceptance commitment therapy, which approaches it a little bit differently. Rather than challenging the thoughts, we just notice them. And then we use mindfulness then to bring our attention to something that's a bit more helpful.
That was a brilliant summary.
Sorry, it's rather long.
No, it's brilliant. No, you couldn't have made it shorter. I think that was just it's perfect. So we thought it'd be really nice in this episode to share some tips for you if you happen to be suffering with anxiety, or maybe you know someone who is. And sometimes people know what anxiety is, but sometimes people don't know all the elements of it, which obviously you've shared many of them today. And I think there's something we can always do. We can do something positive about it, as you say, rather than reaching, you know, for a bottle of alcohol. There are healthy, you know, ways to improve things. So we're going to talk a bit about, we thought we could talk a little bit about journaling, and then go into three of the tips that you're going to share with everybody today. We'll go through those one by one now. So do you like recommending things like journaling?
Definitely. Yeah. It's not something that I do every day, but on occasions I will, if I notice that there's a bit of tension. I often carry tension in my chest and in my shoulders, and if in my jaw actually. And if I feel that anything like that is building up, then I start to journal. And that's an opportunity for me to refocus and reflect on what's going on, and to bring a bit more balance into it. And also just to check in on that inner critic. Am I being kind to myself, or am I criticizing and bringing myself down? And sometimes I've just recently moved house, and there's a lot going on with my kids in schools and things like that, with GCSE. So if my mind is really full of a lot of things, I feel like I'm juggling a lot. Sometimes it's not about specifically like bullet point journaling. It's about just getting what's in my head onto paper. And sometimes that mental download can help. And it's literally just writing. It doesn't have to be neat. It doesn't have to be in lines. It could be written all over each other. It's just literally just getting all those words out that come to mind just on a piece of paper. And after that, I can just screw it up and throw it away. And that just empties whatever's up here, just empties it out. It gives me a bit of space to be able to then problem solve and think, okay, well, what is going on? What do I need to focus on first?
It's brilliant. Something I teach journaling, whether it's mindfulness, Pilates, or my stress to calm, stress management. I love teaching journaling, but I've actually become, I was a diary, you know, a lot of people started off, you know, in their younger years, maybe writing a diary, but I found there was no depth to it. There was no really expressing, like you were saying, you know, get something out of your head onto paper, off your chest, or even saying, you know, throw it away if it's really, you know, not helping you. When I was journaling as a child, I loved it. I had this 5-year diary, but I was just writing. It's very much about I did this, I did that. Yeah. There was no proper expressing how you feel in it. And the thing I think is really nice about journaling is you've got a lot of, you know, therapists like yourself. You've got doctors recommending it, like the Dr. Rangan Chatterjee. In our latest Stress to Calm series of books, we talk about some of the benefits and science and research behind it. as well, which it's really nice. I think it's gradually, I feel like I've noticed it feels like it's becoming more well known now. Do you think that?
I think so. Yeah, certainly. And it doesn't have to be. I mean, and from a child, when I kept my diary, I know I stopped after a while because my brother kept reading it. So
oh, no.
There's always that sense that somebody might read it. But a lot of my clients, there's so many apps out there that you can use if you're not into using paper and pen. A lot of my clients aren't one for writing or texting and things like that. So they often just use voice notes and then listen back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're able to reflect on that and get a bit of distance from the issue. So there's a lot of different ways of doing it. It's just about trying lots of different things and finding what works for you.
Yeah. I think if somebody's going through, tell me what you think, but I think if somebody's going through extremely difficult or traumatic time, I think it's better to see the doctor and see a therapist like yourself and have professional support alongside it, because you don't obviously want somebody spiraling in their journey. Obviously journaling can be very solution focused and it can be inspiring, but you know, depending on what level of mental health issues are going on.
And I think just definitely if somebody's really struggling to that point, then it's definitely go and speak to a GP or seek therapist or some support somewhere. But for the everyday journaling, in terms of that self-compassion, bringing in a bit of that gratitude and celebrating me, what have I done well today? And I know you mentioned sort of about affirmations. I think having a focus sometimes can really help. I think it's really helpful as well, because it just makes you reflect on that day. I often talk around values. You know, I get them to maybe write a list of values and then pick the top three. This is based on the acceptance commitment therapy, just to give you some focus. And you pick the top three and you can maybe start the day thinking, okay, today, say, for example, it's kindness. How can I bring kindness into my day? Is there somewhere I could be kind to? Is it bringing kindness to myself? Or it might be at the end of the day, you can reflect back and say, what did I do today that met that value? And you can do that through journaling, which is quite nice.
Yeah, they're lovely, lovely, lovely tips. So we will, as you've brought it up, and we do this every episode, is we pick a positive affirmation of the day. But we're talking about in relation to journaling, you can pick an affirmation and then you can talk about what it means to you, you can think about what it means to you. You can journal and write for 1 minute, set an alarm for 1 minute and write what it means to you, or longer if you want to. I'll pick a happy and calm card today. I do also have the happy kids cards for the younger children. I think I've taught journaling for as young as eight years old, I think.
Oh,
yeah, it's really lovely. So I'm just shuffling the cards at the moment.
I was going to say, I suppose with the children, it doesn't have to be words. It could be pictures as well, or just doodling.
Words. Yeah. Sometimes they'll colour a balloon and they'll draw or write about. Yeah.
I suppose I said kids, it could be for adults as well. If they don't want to write, they can draw as well.
Yeah, of course. So step one, shuffle. Step two, found the cards out. There's loads of other lovely ways to do it too. That'll do for today. Step three, pick a card. So let's go for one for today's episode. We did not plan this in advance, so let's see what we get. We'll have a talk about it. And if you feel listening that you'd like to journal with it, write about it, you can do that too. Take a breath in, take a breath out, into your tummy. Relax, happy shoulders. Oh, we got, I am loved, I am surrounded by love.
Oh, brilliant.
What does that mean to you today?
I think I did a mindfulness course in September last year, because I knew I was moving and I needed to be able to find ways to manage the overwhelm with that. And the thing I came away was accepting me and being me. Was something that I thought was really important, and celebrating me. And I think reminding that I am loved is also me loving me of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's really lovely. I'll share mine very briefly, but my son's just gone to university. So my home is still very loving and everything. And me and my son, who's now at university, obviously still have a loving relationship, but things have changed a lot. So there does feel a little bit of a hole, but saying that, I had my family to stay in Dorset for the weekend, my mum, my dad, my sister, and for a friend as well. So it's kind of like you're saying, you can have that beautiful self-love for yourself, but also it's nice to feel the family, you know, family and friends love as well. So that's what it means to me. And for you listening, what does it mean to you today? And if you feel inspired to get a pen and paper or a lovely notebook, or my journaling notebook's over there at the minute, but and write about it, what it means to you, you can do that too. So we've just got time. Oh, let's just one last thing. Gratitude journaling. It's fantastic. What have you got to say about it in a few words?
In a few words, it's it could be things that you're grateful for in the day. Obviously, I think with anxiety and low mood, we can have a very sort of tunnel vision to our day. It could be very negative focus, and that could keep you in that negative cycle. So I think it helps just to bring a bit more balance in your day and just remind you it's not just all negativity. There are some positives as well. There's a positive side. There's always two sides to a coin, isn't there? So
it's
a way of bringing a bit more of that balance, I think.
Yeah, very true. I'm making sure I do it every day at the moment, gratitude journaling, as well as the 1 minute book and affirmation journaling and the free flow journaling. So what three tips would you like to share today? So tip one, we've got like, I know we've got about 5 minutes to share a few tips. So tip one you wanted to share about a journaling. What in particular would you like to share for the tip one on this?
I think definitely, well, we mentioned about the gratitude. I think it's finding any way to help you reflect and bring balance into your day and play around with it. You know, there's a lot of information. There's myself or yourself, there's experts out there in it. Information online, there's lots of apps you can use for journaling, different things you can use, and it can be, as we said, writing things down, it could be drawing, or it could simply, with one client, we just simply had a happy face and a sort of a neutral face for those not so good days. She felt that every week was really negative and going terrible, but actually on reflection, when she looked back and saw how many happier faces there were, she was reminded of what those happy faces represented. Mm. And that brought a bit more balance, because she didn't have time to write. She didn't want to write. She didn't want to draw. She just wanted that simply, you know, happy face and a neutral face. So yeah. It's finding what works for you, really.
Yeah. I find, I haven't actually analysed it exactly, but I would say probably about 70-75% of my clients like to do journaling, and I teach it in the sort of, you know, stress to calm classes or corporate or one-to-one programs in it, but some don't. So I always, and I often give a choice as well. Like some prefer to just for a minute, rather than journey, they might want to just cuddle and stroke their dog, for example, or they might want to just sit with good posture and breathe, or gaze out at the garden for the minute, or have a lie down and kind of like we were talking about body scan earlier, and just, you know, we're going to do a body scan kind of breathing exercise for you as part of the podcast in a moment, before we've done after the three tips. But everyone's different, kind of. What sometimes people like one tool, sometimes like the other, sometimes they're like,
I think it's just that time for you, really, and it could be 5 minutes, 1 minute, it could be 10 minutes. Finding something that works for you, and it doesn't have to be every day, but in it, I think to get the benefits from it, it's definitely worth practicing it and creating that new habit.
It's
definitely worth doing it every day for a few weeks just to get into the practice of doing it.
Yeah. With both of my clients, whether it's stress to calm or mindfulness Pilates, I do encourage the daily practice and incorporating it into their lifestyle, because they get a lot more results. So tip two, mindful moments. And you talk about the 5-4-3-2-1 and just a little summary of it. What do you recommend?
Yeah, well, it's the 5-4-3-2-1. So initially it's 5 things you can see, 4 things you can hear, 3 things you can feel, 2 things you can smell, and 1 thing you can taste. Now, I've got it written down. I find it very difficult to remember all of those. And also some of those senses don't work very well for me. I don't have a very good sense of smell. But works for me is sounds and colours. So when I use this, if I feel that there's a sense of overwhelm, or my heart's racing or my thoughts are racing, then I try and listen and really bring my attention to the real final detail. You know, for example, like when we go out into the back garden, we see the grass, we see the trees, we see maybe a shed, fence and some flowers. when a child goes out into the garden, they might see all the different blades of grass. They might see the different shades of green in the tree and the light flickering through it. They see everything in detail. And the 5-4-3-2-1 is using those senses that work for you. It could be touch even, you know, feeling the seat underneath me, feeling the ridges on my desk. It's noticing things in detail. And with that, it's evidence. This is actually happening. And it brings your attention to the present moment rather than your mind using all these anxious thoughts and worrying about the future or mulling over things that happened in the past. You can't do anything about either one of those because we can't predict the future and we can't change the past. We can learn from it, but we can't change it. So the 5-4-3-2-1 brings your attention to the present moment. Mm. And that can often calm some of those thoughts, calm some of those physical sensations. I use it daily. You know, if I'm out walking or even just having a cup of tea, watching the steam coming out the cup, smelling the tea, feeling the heat in the around the mug. And it's only a couple of minutes, if that. Yeah.
There are some. This is one of my favorite herbal teas I'm drinking, but I love it when I get it's one of those mindful moments where I smell the tea bag before I put it in because it's really quite strong at that point. Or like I say to my clients, we'll put a couple of dots of lavender before we do this next breathing or relaxation or whatever. And then I smell the lavender essential oil before putting it on my pillow because it's extra strong then. And but as you're saying, So you've got the 5-4-3-2-1. So it's five things. If you just repeat that before our final third tip. So five things you can
see, four things you can hear, three things you can feel, two things you can smell, and one thing you can taste.
Lovely. And give it a try if you haven't tried it before or if you feel inspired to. And the third tip today is about self-compassion. So we're just going to finish off with this one before we go into the relaxation in a couple of minutes.
Yeah, this one's very important to me because I experienced so much of that inner critic, reminding myself of what I should be able to do and or what I've done wrong or what I said wrong. And it's about being a friend to yourself, about giving yourself a bit of a break. And that could be either the way that you talk to yourself in a softer tone as if you would talk to a friend, but also it's about having that self-care and allowing yourself just that little bit of rest and not feeling like you have to keep going at 100 miles an hour. You know, when you're going on a journey, you fill the car with fuel before you start rather than towards the end of the journey. So it's about taking care of yourself and making sure that you've got enough fuel in that tank. And if that means 5-minute rest, half an hour rest, just stopping for a moment. Just bringing, you know, it's more sort of soothing for yourself. And helping you manage the day ahead or the week ahead.
Yeah, it's a really lovely tip. It's about, I say a lot, listen to your body, but it's about listening to everything, isn't it?
Completely.
Seeing what you need and what's going to help you and everything. So thank you so much for sharing those three amazing tips to help reduce anxiety and obviously feel better. We're going to go into a little breathing body scan exercise now. One of the favorite things that you like to do is just to take three breaths and be very mindful and scan through the body and allow the muscles to relax and everything. So we're going to head into that now and then we'll come back and chat afterwards. So enjoy this sitting, standing or lying down or even with what you're doing, walking along or in the moment, off to make a cup of tea or whatever it might be. You're talking about even doing this driving in the car, like just taking a few breaths. So obviously eyes are open. If you're doing it in the more relaxed way, don't do it whilst you're driving. Okay, we're going to head into that now. Enjoy. So welcome to your number three breathing exercise. And you can do this anytime throughout your day by just taking three relaxing breaths in and out into your tummy and letting your tummy rise and fall. And on the out breath, just scanning through your body and any tension, just blow it away and let your shoulders relax and happy shoulders. Or you can take some dedicated time away just for you to breathe and relax three times. But you might then want to breathe another three times and another three times and scan through your body and release tension. And breathe in calm and peace, and breathe out calm and peace and relaxation. And allow your muscles to go back to their natural state. So you choose for right here, right now. sitting, standing, or lying down, you can close your eyes. But remember, you can do this in your day-to-day life, just taking three or more breaths to just center yourself, take yourself into the present moment, breathe, relax, and scan for your body. But for right now, if you're sitting or standing, sit or stand with good posture. Don't sit or stand like a banana. That might make you laugh and smile. You're welcome to smile right now. It's actually really good to smile before and after your relaxation and breathing time. And then, or if you're lying down, close your eyes. And you're going to take three breaths. In through your nose, out through your mouth, relax, breathing into your tummy. Well done. And again. And just scanning through your body all the way from your head to your toes. So relaxing your head and your neck and your face and your jaw. And then breathe and relax again. Breathing into your tummy, let your tummy rise and pull. Exhale, relax through the mouth. And again, relaxing your shoulders, happy shoulders. And your next breath. Breathe and relax. And relaxing through your arms, your hands, thumbs, and fingers. And you might feel that's enough, or you might like to carry on for another three. You can do as many threes as you like. So in through your nose, out through your mouth, relax. Relaxing your upper back and middle back and lower back. And breathe and relax. Well done. Relaxing your hips and your legs. If there's any tension, just blow it out the window and just let it release from the muscles. Breathe and relax. And if you'd like to enjoy three more, you can do another three. And just scanning through your whole body now, all the way down to the ankles, the feet, and the toes. And relax that area too. Any tension, just let it go. Couple more. Breathe and relax. Well done. Relax your tummy, letting your breathing slow down. So breathing gently. And you can do this three times, lots of threes. Anytime you'd like to do this, sitting, standing, lying down, or in your day-to-day life with your eyes open as well. You can take this into your daily life. And before sleep, anytime you like. And just take a breath in or yawn. Oh, wiggle your fingers and your toes. Have some water or carry on with the breathing if you'd like to stay there longer. And sending you lots of love. And say well done to yourself for doing this for you right here and right now. Lots and lots of love. And smile. So how do you feel after the breathing? I hope that little mindful moment of some breathing and body scan has helped you a little bit. Remember, it's also really nice to do in bed morning and night. Another great time for it's at the dentist. Anywhere else you think is good to use it? There's so many ways you can use it, aren't there?
Oh, definitely. I mean, even before difficult meetings.
Absolutely, yeah.
Phone calls. Yeah. Just to take a moment just to ground yourself.
Yeah, I was rushing a little bit before seeing you because I wanted to make sure I had a proper breakfast and I'd already taught a class and a smoothie is not enough to then sustain me. And we both did some breathing and just took a few moments and a quick stretch before starting talking to you today because we've got to look after ourselves and obviously role model what we're helping others with as well. I'd just like to say thank you so much, Amy, for coming to talk all about anxiety today. Is there a final word of wisdom that you'd like to share? You've shared so many things today, which I think is going to be enormously valuable for everyone to listen to. And if you do know someone who's going through any of these forms of anxiety, well, we didn't even get to panic attacks today. So maybe you'll have to come back in next year and we'll talk about other, you know, specific areas like, you know, panic attacks. But any final words of wisdom before we go?
I just think, you know, going along the lines of that self-compassion is prioritizing your well-being. I think it's really important. You know, there was a lot of talk about it during the pandemic. I think keep that going, keep that talk going, because everybody struggles at some point. We always have anxiety in our life, and sometimes people find it more difficult to manage than others. So try things, try lots of different things. If something doesn't work, try something else until you've found something that works for you. But also try meeting lots of different types of therapists as well until you find somebody that you click with.
I think that is important. You definitely have to have the person that you work with, therapist, or whether it's mindfulness, blood teacher, or
modalities,
but I think listening to you, they'll be like, yeah, this is a really good one for me. So I'll put all your details in the show notes, where they can connect with you and everything, and connect with you on social media and everything as well. And thank you so much for coming today.
That's amazing. Thank you very much for having me.
That's all right. Lots of love. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for listening. Bye. So thank you so much for listening to the Mindfulness Pilates podcast. Please rate and review on your podcast platform. You can access the free healing meditation to reduce back pain to feel good in the 3-minute morning routine on my website. And you can book your Pilates tailored toolbox, one-to-one program, of course, the Mindfulness Pilates classes on Zoom, and also stress calm workshops and programs on my website, or just get in touch at www.mindfulnesspilates.com.